You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here. And I'm coming to you from my little studio here in Island Community Church. And all of us here from Island greet you here today. And greetings and God bless from this awesome church family of Island Community Church. We greet you here today. We invite you to attend one of our services. The Lord's doing an excellent work here at Island, and you are invited. If you are new to the area or if you are looking for a church home, I invite you to attend one of our services. If you listen to this program, then you know what to expect, and we would love to see you. Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Acts, and that's where we're going to be. We're going to look at Paul's testimony this weekend. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning, and we also will be partaking of the Lord's Supper on this Sunday, as we always do, the last Sunday of the month. So we would love to see you. Now, here on the radio today and tomorrow will be Revelation chapter 13. It's one of the things we're listening here on WGOD. We're going through the book of Acts. You're hearing my Sunday sermons here on this radio broadcast. And we're also going through the book of Revelation on the other days here on the radio. That's where we're at here today. We're up to Revelation chapter 13. Wednesday nights, we just started a brand new study in the book of Daniel, and we would love to see you as well. Wednesday nights at 6, more on that as Wednesday approaches. Here now, let's get into the Word. Let's get into perhaps the most famous chapter in the book of Revelation. That'd be chapter 13. First half of chapter 13 looks at the Antichrist. The second, his henchman, the false prophet. Okay, the man of sin, that's where we're at today. We're up to chapter 13 this morning in the book of Revelation, contained in this famous Antichrist in the first part of chapter 13, and then the false prophet will be next week in the second half of this chapter. Now remember, as we're moving along, understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Understand the symbol, understand the book. I've been saying that every week, right? It's making it much easier to understand. Once you get what the symbol means, then you'll understand the book. Now, today's lesson in understanding, the beast is the Antichrist. So when you see that throughout this chapter and chapter 17, when you read the beast is the Antichrist. Or as the Apostle Paul calls him, the man of sin. He is a person. He's not a country. He's not a system. He's a person. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 calls him a person. He's arrested. He's a person. He gets thrown into the lake of fire because he's a loser and he's going to lose. But he wants to bring as many people with him as possible. But he is a person. Paul also calls him the son of perdition. Funny too, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus called Judas Iscariot by the very same name that the Holy Spirit called the Antichrist? Isn't that the slightest bit odd? Now, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 12, in his high priestly prayer, he says, "Those whom you've given me I have kept, and none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Now remember that as we go on along. The Lord Jesus called Judas Iscariot the son of perdition. Also remember, please, that all of God's end times players are supernatural. There's nothing run-of-the-mill about anyone that we've looked at. They're all supernatural. This spirit of Antichrist entered into Judas over 2,000 years ago. Now, if you guys would turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, a little letter in the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. Listen to the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits." All right, now he's talking about the spirit in a person. He's not talking you to test something or someone that you cannot see. He's instructing you to test the spirit that's inside of a person when he says that. Test the spirit. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, colon. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, that's the spirit in a person, that is, Pastor Paul's dead and buried, and you're going to interview someone else to be the next pastor. This is the kind of things that you do. You test the spirit. Every spirit that confesses, you get the guy who's applying for the job as pastor, and you say, "What do you think about Jesus Christ?" That's what he means by this. Test the spirits inside of a person. See what drives them. This is how you do that. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, or let's say the Messiah, every spirit inside of a man or a woman that confesses that the Messiah has already come in the flesh is of God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already. Look at that. Now already. You see, he's already around. He's already in the world. 2,000 years ago, he wrote this. He is now already in the world. You see it all around. You see the spirit of Antichrist in people all around you today. How can you tell? Jew haters like Hitler and Harvard. Is what it is. It is what it is. If you go around here hating Jews like Hitler, guess what, pal? You're infected. I hate to tell you this morning, but you're infected with a spirit. Smell the coffee. Now, before starting the book of Revelation, I just want you to see that it's already in the world. This spirit manifests itself in people. It's all over the world here today. And that the Lord said, you will know, you will recognize them by their fruits. What do you think about Israel? Turn with me, please. Let's go now to the book of 2 Thessalonians. I want to look at the Apostle Paul's take first on the man of sin. 2 Thessalonians, small books, only 3 chapters. Right after, I think, the book of Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, then 2 Thessalonians. The man of sin. Now, the context of 2 Thessalonians is the rapture. Someone sent word to the Apostle Paul because someone tried to deceive the people there in Thessalonica. Someone told them that they missed the rapture. And that's why he wrote this letter. Because everyone knows that the rapture of the church isn't until Resurrection Day. Am I right, Darren? Because the Bible says as much. All right, so that's why he's about to say what he says. He's refuting a false, thus saith the Lord, telling people that they missed the resurrection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, so catch, he's going to hit right on the topic. He's going to address their question right off the bat. Now, brethren, concerning the return of Jesus Christ, or concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together, episynagoge, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled,
either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless. Got a colon there too. Number one, he said, the falling away comes first. Now that's the day that all the untested Christians abandon the faith. All those that have never abided under the hand of God when they're going through trials, everyone who cut bait and run, everyone who said, you know what, I am not going to endure this. I'm going to slip myself out from under the work that God's trying to do to build me up into a spiritual giant to help me get through this. God is at work in you. That's why James says, count it all joy when it happens to you, because God's at work. He's building you up into a spiritual giant. That's why, like I said last week, embrace trials. Learn. We've got to learn. I'm right there with you. We've got to learn how to embrace trials. Remember my sermon last week? Remember how you overcome Satan at the end of the age? Never mind that. How you overcome him today. If someone comes through that front door, the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, that is, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And of course, he's Lord whether I believe him or not, but he's my Lord. And they love the Lord Jesus more than they love themselves. I never saw that before. That's the first and greatest commandment. Lord, what's the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Miss that at any given day in your life. Miss the first commandment and you'll miss heaven. When someone bolts through that door and says, your faith or your life, and of course, naturally, that's not going to come on a day on the calendar. That's going to come unexpected. At the least time you expect it to happen will be the Muslim that comes through the door or whoever, the satanically inspired whoever, and says, are you a Christian? What do you say? You see, God is preparing you for that today. And that's why he makes your life difficult. That's why the NIV says, consider it pure joy. Who can do that? How are you guys doing with that? Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials. But I love the next two words. Next two words are knowing that. Meaning God's at work behind the scenes, people. Knowing that the testing of your faith develops. Look out, devil. Here comes Pastor Paul. Better yet, I'm going to crown you over the head with this, devil. But that comes through suffering. Philippians 1:29, to you it's been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. It's through suffering these things come from. So that's why people fall away. You also can read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, many will fall away from the faith. People who said, you know what, I never signed up for this. The guy on TV told me everything is easy now that I'm a Christian. Wrong. Everything's hard now that you're a Christian. No, let me rephrase that. Your face is now on Satan's bulletin board down in hell now that you're a Christian. But the good news is that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. And that grace is all that you need. Again, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Look what he says next. The son of perdition. My. Isn't that odd? Paul called the Antichrist the same name Jesus called Judas Iscariot. Now, the Apostle John just told you, remember, this spirit's already at work. See, this isn't old. He's been around for years. It's nothing new. Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. Show me something that's new, and I'll show you it has already been. Okay, the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God. What kind of fool would do that? He sits as God in the house of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, Daniel the prophet says he won't have the desire for women. Do with that as you will. If you're a no one, they'll still throw a parade for you for that. Imagine how it's going to be then. So before we move forward, look at what we've learned already. Five things. Number one, there's no rapture until the great falling away from the faith comes first. There is no rapture of the church until the falling away comes first. Number two, there's no rapture until all of us see the man of sin. Number three, the same spirit that was in Judas Iscariot will be in the man of sin. Number four, the Antichrist will say that he is God. Number five, if you're not a Christian by that time, you'll believe him. If you're not a Christian by that time, you'll believe him. He sits as God in God's house, showing himself that he is God. And yet we read also in chapter 13, verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. If your name is not in the book today, you will bow the knee to this guy, I promise you. But that doesn't have to be your future. Let's move on. Let's start chapter 13 here in the book of Revelation. Oh, and one last thing regarding understanding the symbol, and you'll understand the book. Remember what we learned last week. The Bible gave the seven heads and ten horns designation to the devil last week, if you guys remember. Remember Revelation chapter 12? We saw the dragon, and it said he had seven horns and seven heads and ten horns. So understand the symbol, understand the book. When you read someone with seven heads and ten horns, all you need to know is Satan is the head of state. So when you read that in someone else, it's the same symbol. You just understand who is behind the scenes, like the Godfather, pulling the strings on this guy. Satan is the power. Satan is the power behind the leaders of the nations, just like he is in the United States of America today. So don't even ponder that question anymore. Who's really running the country? You know, I hear that all the time. I read it on Twitter. I hear it on the news. Oh, who's really running the country? The Bible just told you Satan is the one that's running it. He is the head of the nation. So the question is not, oh, it's not Joe Biden. Oh, it's this person. It's that. No, it's not. Your Bible tells you that Satan is the one that's running these countries. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Now, I read this on Friday from an English newspaper. It said, are Islamists in charge of Britain? No, they're not. Open up your Bible for the love of Pete. I just said it. Islamists are not in charge of Britain. Satan is in charge of Britain. John 14, 30. Also, it's in John chapter 12 somewhere. Jesus Christ calls Satan the ruler of this world. Then it should be of no surprise to you. The Apostle Paul, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He calls him the God of this age. Or the King James Version says, the God of this world. The Bible calls the devil the God of this world. Why is it no surprise that he's running this country? Glad it's not Russia. From reading about everyone that they're poisoning around there lately, I'd be afraid to touch my doorknob.
Should be afraid anyway to touch my doorknob.
Look at what happens in this country when that gets threatened. Look at what happens in the United States when the power of Satan as the head of the country. Look at what happens in this country when that gets threatened. Everyone know what I mean? You see it. You know, I think Donald Trump was an accident. Love him or hate him, it's not a question of the person. It's a question of that power went bye-bye for 4 years. And look at what happened as a result. Because Satan is the one that's in charge of this. Now, the Bible calls him that. The Lord Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. I'm just a preacher. I'm just sharing it with you that the leader of this country is not who you think that it is. It's someone much more diabolical than that. Now, here's your test. Here's your test to see who's in charge. Okay? Answer these questions and you'll see who's in charge. Satan's platform is this. Murdering babies in the womb or tomb. Now, remember, it's a person's choice. You have the freedom of choice to kill someone that's trying to dodge a spike and has a heartbeat. It's your choice. I'm just showing you what the devil's platform is, and then you tell me who is the leader of this country. I'll just show you the evidence. You tell me. Murdering babies in the womb. Number two, the mutilation of children at a young age by surgically altering their sex that was designated to them by God. I'll tell you what, that certainly is not God's platform. Number three, rampant homosexuality, just like it was in Sodom. This is an absolute, hear me here, this is an absolute despicable sin. It was then, and it is now, and it doesn't change because of devolution. We devolve, and then God seems so high and far away, he reaches out of your grasp. But he doesn't change, and the word of God does not change. So that's number three. Number four, hating Israel and hating Jews. Number five, I'll add another one to this. Number five, persecuting Christians. Persecuting Christians. So there's your proof. So now when you read the seven heads and ten horns, it's simple to understand. All you have to understand is Satan is the world ruler, and he's the ruler of this country, and his synagogue of Satan has its throne right down in Washington, D.C. Now, if you stand for those five things, and if you think those five things are good, then I'm here to tell you that Satan is your father. Not Darth Vader, but the devil himself. You could only wish that Darth Vader was your father. At least he repents at the end of his life. All right, here we go. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. But do you guys see the evil forces that are at work in this United States of America? Yes. Those things that I listed. I mean, this is, you know, everyone has a platform that they run on. That is Satan's platform. I don't ask you guys where you stand because you guys would have spit in my eye and left here a long time ago if you didn't agree with that. And if you agree with that platform, I'll tell you, you're not a Christian. I don't know, you're on the wrong team. If you side with that platform, you're not a Christian. I don't understand. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. How could you say you're a Christian and stand on this platform? How? Look, God has said before, he said it in the past, he said, everyone that's on the Lord's side, come with me. Now Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. It's your choice. I'm just showing you who the one is behind the scenes pulling the strings in the United States of America. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood, all right, now this is John speaking when it says I. If your Bible says he, you might want to switch that and get a different Bible. If your Bible says he stood on the sand, I think that's incorrect. It should say I stood on the sand. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Okay, we know what this is now. We've spent plenty of time looking at this. This just means that Satan is in charge of this guy. That's all. Satan is the one pulling the strings. Beast, remember, understand the symbol, understand the book. The beast is Satan. So I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a dragon. All right, write down those animals. Leopard, bear, and lion. Leopard, bear, and lion. Remember those three. The dragon gave him his... We understood dragon last week, remember? That serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Understand the symbol. The dragon is the devil. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. All right, so the end of verse 2 gives us this connection. Again, as I said earlier, the dragon gives him his power, gives him his throne. He gives him this great authority, so it was his to give. Notice it's not Satan, but he's connected with him. He's the Antichrist's boss. All right, now to understand what this means regarding the animals, we need to go back to the Old Testament. Let's turn, please, to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Last of the major prophets, Daniel chapter 7. Now, before we start, let me tell you what it means. These animals represent world kingdoms as it relates to Israel, because Israel is the focal point of time and history, because it is. Sorry, England. Sorry, Harvard. But it is what it is. Don't let satanically inspired progressives destroy this fact for you. Israel, that's I-S-R-A-E-L, Israel. Everyone good with that? World rulers, as it relates to Israel, because Israel is the focal point of time and history. Now, Daniel chapter 7. Remember the animals, leopard, bear, and a lion. Leopard, bear, and a lion. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now, in the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. All right, remember chapter 13, verse 1. Remember, he was standing on the beach, saw something come out of the sea. Likewise, here. The four winds were stirring up the sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Suddenly another beast, the second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. All right, so far we've got a lion and a bear. Sound familiar? All we need is a tiger. Oh my. Verse 6. Now after this, I looked and there was another, a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads and dominion was given to it. All right, three for three. Those three represented Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, and the leopard, which is modern-day Greece. Number four is going to be the Roman Empire, verse 7. Just hadn't happened yet.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard. Thank you.